Welcome back, folks. We are joined by Ira Melman, Media Director for the Federation for American Immigration Reform. We've talked a lot about the big, beautiful bill, about some of the implications of same relative to taxes, relative to Medicaid, but we've spent very little time talking about the additional dollars for law enforcement and others relative to immigration. And Ira joins us to talk about that. Ira, welcome to the show.
Good to be back. Thank you.
So, Ira, this bill, incredibly important to provide this funding with 1,954 miles of border with Mexico and 5,525 miles of border with Canada. It provides a necessary funding to keep that all alive, well, and in check, right?
It does. It includes about $46 billion, you mentioned, to complete construction of the wall, to hire more border agents, more electronic surveillance of the border. So it includes a lot of money for both border enforcement and for interior enforcement. You know, we forget that under the Biden administration, you had 10 million people cross that border illegally, including 2 million people who were never encountered by the Border Patrol. You know, these are people we know nothing about. We don't know where they are. We don't know why they're here, you know, especially at a time when terrorism is a major threat to the country. So it also includes a lot of money to do interior enforcement, to go out and find people who shouldn't be here and remove them from the country if necessary.
What are the latest estimates as to what the illegal alien population may be here in this country?
Yeah, you know, FAIR estimates it to be about 18.6 million people. And that's kind of a conservative estimate. You know, we only use data that we could find. But as I mentioned, you know, there's a lot we don't know about this because it's illegal. But it's, in our estimation, it's at least 18.6 million people. And that's a number that's way, way too high. It's costing the American public billions of dollars a year. More than $150 billion a year to provide services to these people and their children who are in the United States. So it's a number that needs to come down. The administration is actively sending ICE out there to find people and remove them. But they've also done something else, which is make it clear to people that you're not going to succeed if you're here illegally. You're not going to be able to get a job. You're not going to be able to get access to a lot of benefits and services. So you might as well just go home. So it's a two-pronged strategy here. You find the people that you can, you remove them, and you discourage the other people from remaining here.
With these additional dollars, I get a lot of questions asked all the time. I talk about immigration just about every week because I think it is an issue that we need to come to grips with and deal with. The questions that's asked is like some of this funding, is any of it going to be directed towards a greater implementation of E-Verify?
Well, that was not part of the bill, but it's certainly something that needs to be taken up. The reconciliation bill, it's dealt strictly with the budget and funding for various programs. E-Verify is in place. What we need now is legislation by Congress to make it mandatory for all employers. That would be the single greatest deterrent for people to come here illegally and work here illegally if employers knew that they had to go through an electronic verification system, just like we go through a verification system every time we use our credit cards, that they would not be able to hire people who are here illegally. There'd be an electronic record of the hire. And if they were caught hiring illegal aliens, then the government had a very strong case against them and could fine them, potentially bring criminal charges against them. So this is something that needs to be addressed by Congress. There's another bill out there, H.R. 2, which, as you may recall, passed the House in 2023, but was never brought up in the Senate. Now the Republicans control the Senate. So if the House passes it again, John Thune, who is now the majority leader, is certain to bring it up. And it includes things on E-Verify and many, many other things that need to be put in place to prevent any future administration like the Biden administration from simply throwing open the borders and disregarding our laws.
Yeah, I mean, it seems to me that the impact of that would be huge. You know, Ira, you've been around a long time. I've been around a long time. Sometimes it's easier to get the money allocated, and it's a lot harder to execute on those dollars. When it comes to the wall, kind of likelihood of success. I mean, I know there were some successes in his in President Trump's last term. Do we anticipate that this is going to be all wrapped up in lawfare again?
Well, no. I mean, the authorization is there. Congress approved a border wall back in 2006. The problem was it wasn't really built. During the first Trump administration, they did build additional miles. I forget exactly how many. But, you know, when the 2020 election came around and President Biden took office in 2021, he just completely scrapped the idea. He sold off the parts of the wall, the metal sheeting and other things that were needed to build it for pennies on the dollar. So unfortunately, the American taxpayers are going to have to pay for this again. But this time, you know, it's in place. President Trump has 3.5 more years in office. He can get a lot of that done in the next 3.5 years. And as I said, the legislation authorizing it has been on the books for almost 20 years.
Well, that's good to hear, because we always wonder whether or not you're going to be able to act on the dollars once they get appropriated. In this bill, I mean, one of the areas that's always been a problem in moving cases is that we constantly hear that there's not enough immigration judges. Are there dollars here to increase that number?
Yes, absolutely. That is one of the line items in the reconciliation bill. I forget exactly how many more judges they're going to hire, but there is money in there for that. And you're right. I mean, that's absolutely what is needed. You know, when people are arrested, they have to go through a process. They have to appear before an immigration judge. And one of the things that has attracted so many people here is that they know how backed up the court system is, and that time works in their favor. So, you know, under the chaos that prevailed during the Biden administration, people would come into the country illegally. They'd be given a court date years into the future. They knew that they'd be allowed to remain here. They'd be given work authorization. And, you know, either they would disappear or find some other reason to be allowed to remain in this country. So if we can expedite the removal process, that would go a long, long way towards deterring more people from trying to come. Because, as I said, time works in their favor, not in our favor.
Yeah, it's the same principles as crime, right? I mean, if people that violate know they can get away with it and the solution rate is incredibly low, there's no incentive to stay on the straight and narrow, because the likelihood of you getting caught is slim and none, and slim just walked out the door.
Yeah. Right. You know, people have been acting rationally. You know, it was our government that was acting irrationally. But look, I mean, we understand why people come to this country illegally. They're coming here for better opportunities, better jobs. And, you know, that's all understandable. It does. We can't permit it because it does undermine the interests of everybody else in the country. But as long as we were providing those incentives and sending a clear message that if you came here illegally, you'd be allowed in, you'd be given work authorization, you'd be given, you know, a court date many years in the future, they responded rationally and they came in huge numbers. And you saw, as soon as the Biden administration left office, it completely reversed. The message being sent was, don't come here illegally. And now we have record low numbers of people trying to come across the border illegally. In June, along the southern border, where we used to get 10,000 people a day coming into the country illegally, for the entire month of June, there were just 6,070 apprehensions. So it has been night and day since January.
Yeah. It's amazing. You know, how the messaging always was, we need immigration reform, and that's why none of this is working, and that's why we can't do anything and or anything else. But a lot of presidents were able to act on the laws that were on the books, to include Obama, who was coined deporter-in-chief in his first 4 years in office. And then, you know, in the second 4 years, he had an epiphany, I guess, or something. I don't know what happened, and he went completely in the opposite direction. But they were able to achieve a lot with the same laws. Nothing's changed. You know,
I mean, yeah. Yeah, you had Joe Biden saying for 4 years he didn't have the presidential authority to do this. And it turns out, you know, we all knew that he actually did. He simply didn't want to use it. In fact, he did everything in his power to undermine it. What he really wanted was Congress to pass legislation that included a mass amnesty for people who are here illegally, that included, you know, just many new streams of people coming into the United States through the legal process, all of which would have undermined the interests of the American public. So he was really just holding the our border and our national security hostage to his desire to get legislation passed that the American public was dead set against.
So, Ira, if you would, very quickly, a lot of people don't really understand how you get to this country legally. I interviewed a woman from Turkey a while back, has been waiting at that time, I think, 14 years. Last I heard, she was still not in, so she's probably up to 16 years waiting to get into the country, and actually has family here. Not immediate family, but family here. How does it actually work? I mean, we let in, about 1.3 million people a year. Are there preferences given still? And how does that play out?
Yes, there are preferences. And, you know, you point to this Turkish woman that you mentioned. You know, she's an example of, you know, what happens when we overpromise. You know, our immigration policy should allow people to bring their spouses and their minor children to the country when they come. But we cannot promise that we're going to be able to reunite entire extended families, because each time you admit somebody under that system, the line actually gets longer. So you have these huge backups, you know, can take, as you point out, 15, 20 years to get into the United States. What we need to do is limit it to the immediate nuclear family and then take people based on what their skills are, what they offer to the country. It's a public policy. It should serve the public interest. And we ought to be judging who we let in based on objective standards. You know, is this person likely to be a net contributor to the country? If so, we're going to prioritize that person. If the person is coming with skills that don't match the needs of our country at any given time, we should, you know, unfortunately, there are, you know, 8.2 billion people on the planet. The vast majority of them would be better off here. We simply cannot let everybody who wants to come here come here. We have to have a system that makes sense for the country and also demonstrate to people that we intend to enforce our laws.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, it's just and those folks that are trying to do it legally, they are completely mystified by all of this other nonsense that's going on. You know, we're creating a special class of people, and they're like, well, wait a minute. I mean, I've been sitting outside of this system waiting to get in the right way, and now I'm being punished.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense.
No, it really doesn't. Yeah, the whole system doesn't make any sense. We, you know, as I said, we promise people things that we can't deliver on, and that's not their fault. That's our fault. And then you have all these people who are coming illegally. They were getting in. They were getting all kinds of benefits. And, you know, people who have been waiting in line for years and years have every right to say, hey, what's going on here? This just doesn't seem right. And it's not right. So we need to stop overpromising, and we need to start making it clear to people that if you just come here illegally, you're not going to benefit by remaining here.
Right. No doubt. Ira Melman, Media Director, Federation for American Immigration Reform. Thank you so much for your time and your insight. Always appreciate that, and have a great week.
You too. Pleasure. Thanks.
Thank you, sir. Folks, we'll be right back. Stay with us.